from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well, 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 here we are. The Extra Point Show on a Thursday, week number one in the National Football League. It's a day of firsts. Right? It's the day of first. It's the first game in the 2024 NFL season. Tonight you have the Ravens and you have the Chiefs, of course, opening at Arrowhead Stadium. It's also the first day of school for a lot of people, including my son, who's 10 years old. So today, a little emotional. I had to get him on the bus this morning. You know, he's going into sixth grade. It's bittersweet. You're like, oh my God, how are you growing up so fast? But a day of firsts around Western New York and across the NFL, no doubt. I am here live today at Northtown Kia. This is an amazing setup. We have WGR merchandise. We have Paula's Donuts while supplies last. We already had people here grabbing Paula's Donuts. So get down here, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. It is Northtown Kia, and it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. You got to see Stephanie. She's the keeper of the wheel. She'll let you spin the wheel, and then she'll give you some merch. We have a grill here. We have, a cornhole set. We have barbecue sauce. We have cars all over the place. I might have to drive one of these off the lot. I just got my car from Northtown literally like 2 months ago. It's amazing. I love it. So come on down. We got a lot going on today. I have a special guest I'm going to get to in a minute. This is very unprompted, very unexpected, but I want to line up what we got going on today. All right, we're here at Northtown Kia. Want to make sure you know that the tailgates are up. So let's celebrate Northtown Kia's Telluride tailgates every Saturday in September. Enjoy complimentary tailgate food, giveaways, and stop by to enter to win a Northtown Buffalo Bills game day experience, including 2 tickets to a Bills game, parking and tailgate supplies. No purchase necessary. And while you're here, check out the great pricing on new and used Kias. Telluride tailgates every Saturday in September at Northtown Kia in Amherst, right here, 3900 Sheridan Drive. Northtown Automotive Group is the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. At 11:15 today, we're going to hear for the first time in the regular season here from Joe Brady and Bobby Babich. We'll bring that live to you. They're going to be talking down at One Bills Drive. I'll bring that live to you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And then practice today at 12:30 p.m. We'll recap everything from yesterday. I want to talk about week number one, not only across the NFL, but with you today and remembering home openers. Actually, just openers. This is what I want. Light up the phone lines, 803-0550. Let's remember some openers. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine. I don't care if it's from 2 years ago, if it's from 10 years ago, or, as our next guest can even get to, back in the 1960s, tell me about a home opener, an opener or two. It can be on the road, but I think it's the home opener is special, right? Give me a memory or two of something you really just love being in that stadium for, you love watching. It didn't even have to be a Bills win. It could be a great play. It could be just an amazing game, whatever it is. We'll walk through some openers here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is very unexpected. I look up. And I see my friend Jan. Jan walked into Northtown, and she's like, hi, Sal. And I said, oh, my God, I thought you were just, like, fixated and sitting in the stadium every single week. But you, because you're such a fixture at your seat, Jan Gallo is joining me. Now, I want to tell everybody who Jan is. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions here, and I welcome you in. Jan Gallo, if that name is familiar with everybody, Jan's son is Vincent Gallo, who is the famous actor, producer who made the movie Buffalo 66 with Christine Ricci, who was in it. And you have been a Bills season ticket holder since the 1960s. And I see you every game inside the stadium. Inside, you are braving all the weather, all the elements, right there in row one, inside the tunnel, right next to the tunnel. It's amazing. But you go all the way back to the Rock Pile days. I am honored you came out to my show here today. Thank you so much.
I'm honored to see you, Sal.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. This is amazing. What was your first year with season tickets?
My first year was in the 60s. I was 6 months pregnant with my first child. And it was very bad going to that stadium. You got beer. You were drenched with beer. And I...
This is the rock pile we're talking about.
The rock pile, yeah. Right. When I left for the stadium, I'm 6 months pregnant. I have my older brother who has one leg. So my husband said when we left, Jan, you get hurt, don't come home.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
well, I did come home. We did win.
Okay.
And I stunk of beer. And you got to remember, I was 6 months pregnant.
Okay, so the movie Buffalo 66 that your son made,
yes.
The basic premise is that his mom has a child and misses the championship of the Buffalo Bills winning the championship. So she always resents him his whole life. So he resents the kicker who missed the kick.
Right.
Obviously, a lot of that plays out in real life in a lot of ways. How much of an inspiration were you at all for that movie?
For the movie?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to see it until it was really final.
Okay.
And to me, the movie, Vincent, you have to know Vincent.
Okay.
It was very artsy, you know that.
Yeah.
And I would not go to the cemetery and still cheer on the Bills when my son was,
yes,
you know.
Yes, of course.
So that was, you know, but a lot of it was true. I'm very meticulous in my house.
That's amazing.
And if you've seen him fixing the bed with Ben Gazzaro's, and that was really me. And then, of course, I don't know, being Italian,
He
brought the pot of tripe out in a pot. I don't serve like that. So that was upsetting to me.
Well, listen, it's an amazing movie. He has an amazing career, but you have seen a lot. I'm asking people today to give a call about some of their best memories, but you've spanned decades and generations here watching the Buffalo Bills. Who are some of your favorite players to watch over the years? Some of the guys you've got to see, whether it's in the old rock pile or at the current Highmark Stadium?
No, I must tell you, my favorite is Jim Kelly.
Okay.
And Jim has stepped up. He looks for me, throws me kisses. On my 80th birthday, he sent me a special video, which that woman was in charge of it.
That's incredible.
And I was at a meat raffle, and there's, you know, hundreds of people there. And all of a sudden, they said, there's a woman here who's 80 years old who's been a season ticket holder for 60 years. So I didn't think it was me, and all of a sudden, this crowd stood up. But there was only 8 people at my table, but this crowd. Well, if you've seen the video, you thought all these people came for me.
Oh, I think they might have.
Then they showed Jim, and he said, I was his number one fan. He said, I'll see you down on the field, which I've been on the field with Jim.
Did you ever think about not having a season ticket, like during the drought years or anything?
No.
Did you ever think about giving them up and saying, I just can't do this anymore?
Sal, I moved to Virginia for 18 months and didn't give them up. And I came back. I kept flying home.
That's amazing. That's incredible. So you watch them. You go back to Jack Kemp, Jim Kelly years, of course.
Daryl LaMonica, all of them.
Everybody. And what do you think now about watching this freak of an athlete we have at quarterback here in Buffalo, Josh Allen?
You see what I'm supporting?
Oh, my Josh.
I love my Josh.
Yes, that's right. You do. You're supporting Oh, my Josh. But this team right now, I mean, there's been some heartbreak, obviously, the last few years. What do you think about the 2024 Buffalo Bills?
Well, you know, this group of guys are so different when Jim Kelly and Daryl LaMonica and Thurman, they're so different. We used to go to Fredonia and watch them, you know, practice. Now it's in Rochester. So different. So, but this group of guys,
yeah,
they're still different than, I'll never give up.
I get you, but you know, watch, you have your favorites, you have your groups that you love. Things change over the years, but one thing I've always said to people, Buffalo is a little bit different. You can go to a lot of these cities. These guys are part of our community. You get to know them a little bit.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many cities you can go to where they're looking for you in the stands and, you know, and getting those relationships.
Right.
Matter.
Well, I still have Andre Reed that'll come and say, hi, Mom.
There you go.
You know, so these are all great memories, and you know where I sit.
I do.
And all these kids want autographs, you know. Well, I call them little ones. I don't mind the little ones coming, but when they come with their father who is 300 pounds, and they love it. I get more letters saying, thank you, you were so great. My kid will never forget this moment. Some of them, it was their first game. So
You'll be in rare company of someone that actually has been able to sit in three different Buffalo Bills stadiums in the National Football League.
Right.
Coming up in a couple years. When you drive down, when you go to the game, we're talking about Jan Gallo, by the way, Vincent Gallo's mom. When you drive down Abbott Road and you see that new stadium going up, what do you think?
Oh, my gosh. I went to the Bills store last Saturday, two weeks ago.
Of course
and,
you did.
And I was starting to cry. I said, oh, my gosh. That was the first time I seen it kind of formed. Now I hear by the end of the season, they're going to start to put the cover or the dome up. So that's going to be exciting, yeah.
Well, I'm honored you came here. And this is unprompted. No one's asked me to do this, but I will tell you, I think people have nominated you for Fan of the Year, and I think that's a great nomination. And if anybody wants to look into it, they can. And I don't need to be, you know, promoting anybody specifically, but I know that if you got it, it would be amazing, because I know that you've been there through all the thick and thin. And for you to come in here today to Northtown Keith, the Extra Point Show, to say hi to me, I'm so honored.
So, I want to tell you, I've been there with broken arms, broken hips, and my knees, and I still didn't miss a game. Three games in all those years.
That's amazing. Jan Gallo. Thank you, Jan. Enjoy. We got some Paula's Donuts. We got some cars
here. Okay, Sal.
Thank you very much. And I'll see you Sunday.
I'll see you down on the field.
All right, you got it. How about that? That is Jan Gallo. That is Vincent Gallo's mom. What a special guest. Absolutely amazing here that she walked in Northtown Kia, and she's here to – and this is what we're doing here. We enjoy football. You're great. No problem. Yeah, I don't know. You can talk. You can ask Stephanie for whatever you need over there. She's taking care of everything. Come on in. Stephanie's helping us out here. WGR merch, Odyssey merch. It's a great day. It's great weather out here, and we have a football game on Sunday. Thinking about talking about home openers or openers in general for the Buffalo Bills over the years. I mean, when you think about the last several years, really, there's been some even disappointment and kind of surprises, right? Let's go backward. Let's think about last year, going to New York. I mean, that was a Monday night game, of course. We had to wait an extra day to get that game in for the Bills, and it didn't go that well. It was Josh Allen throwing three interceptions. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt four plays into the game. I remember being in that stadium, and if you're a football fan, I get it. Like, Aaron Rodgers goes out, and if you're a Bills fan, you're like, hey, they don't have to deal with Aaron Rodgers the rest of the game. But, man, it was so deflating as a football fan to be in that stadium at that time, because you knew that this is he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He just got into New York, and what a great weekend to celebrate. And then all of a sudden, man, he could be out for the year. And I remember talking with Jets fans in and around the stadium during that time. That's a memory that I know it's not a great memory for the Bills and their fans, the results of the game, but that's something I'll never forget, being in that stadium for that particular game. You go back a couple years ago, it was the reverse. It was the early season game. The Bills played on this day, tonight, the opener for the NFL season. They were in L.A. against the Rams, and they just control the game throughout. I mean, if you go back to that game, actually, you think about it, I think it was 10-10 at halftime. I'm going to go and take a look right now at the overall box score. It was 10-10 at halftime, and the Bills just came out in the second half and really took care of business against the Rams. And that was a game where you knew, okay, this is a Buffalo Bills team that, once again, is going to be, you know, contending. That was right after 13 seconds, obviously, the first game out of the chute. Remember that year, they go to the Rams, they win 31-10. Then they beat the Titans at home on Monday Night Football the following week, 41-7. They have a similar situation this year where they go to Miami on a Thursday night next week, and then they have a Monday night home game the following week. So they're going to have like 11 days to prepare. And I think the Bills will be in a really good position there. But those are those two most recent games, both night games, Thursday night in 2022 at the Rams, Monday night in 2023 at the Jets. The Bills play a regular old Sunday afternoon game this year. And I, for one, am thankful and happy about that. I love Sunday afternoon home games in Orchard Park to start the season. Somebody pointed out to me, and it's true, that, and I looked at it, and I actually had to text. What I did was, when I heard this stat, I texted my buddy John Harris, who is the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, and I said, will the Texans have the roof open or closed? He said it hasn't been open in a long time, so it's going to be closed. Think about this for a second. After Sunday, everybody, after Sunday, the Bills will not play an outdoor afternoon game until October 20th. Against the Tennessee Titans, because they're going to go to the Dolphins at night,
They'll have a Monday night home game against the Jags. They're going to go to the Ravens on a Sunday night. They're going to go to the Texans, who are going to have the roof closed, and they're going to go to the Jets for another night game. I mean, heck, they only have one afternoon game, and that's going to be indoors. So after Sunday, enjoy Sunday. Enjoy your 62 degrees and a little bit breezy, because after Sunday, you're not going to get another Sunday afternoon outdoor game for the Buffalo Bills until the Tennessee Titans roll into town on October 20th. Home openers, openers in general, what comes to your mind? 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's get it started and get connected with our fans. Let's go to Bill in South Carolina. Hi, Bill. You're up first.
Hi, Sal. So, yeah, my memory is when we beat the Dolphins back in 1980 after they had beat us for the entire 70s. So, you know, when we were, like, behind and we came up two touchdowns, I think, within the last 5 minutes of the game to win 17-7. And then the crowd stormed the field. The craziest thing is, back then, you used to be able to bring thermoses into the stadium, and I had one of these short things that you could put, like, an iced tea thing with a spout on it. And I had, like, three short boy bottles of beer that I was able to sneak into the stadium that I could put inside this cooler. So at the end, I was on the field with all the rest of the crazy people, and I was tossing this.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Bill. Did you storm the field and help tear down those goalposts in 1980?
I didn't tear the goalposts down or rip up the carpet, but I was tossing
right.
the thermos around, and of course, every bottle inside there, empty bottle, broke. So I had this thermos full of broken glass leaving the stadium. But yeah, I was down on the field for sure.
I love that, man. And you know what? Back then, things have changed now, Bill, and you probably know this. They actually have the automatic, like, lifts and go up and down for the goalpost. Now, you have security anyway, lots of security. You're not going to get on the field. But if you were able to, you would not be able to tear down the goalposts manually, because they take them down automatically now. They just basically come down via, like, an electronic lift.
Right. I watched the guys carry the goalposts up to Ralph Wilson's box.
Yes. I love it.
And, of course,
I remember in 88 when they came down. I wasn't there. 88 after they beat the Jets to win the division for the first time in several years, right? I remember that one. And then they came down a little bit late, another couple years later against the Dolphins. But I bet you, Bill, you are not alone today. And thanks for the call. A lot of people thinking about that particular game in 1980 to open up the 80 season after the Dolphins beat the Bills 20 straight times. And now the Bills have kind of flipped the script. Hasn't been perfect against the Dolphins, but in the Josh Allen era, they pretty much own the Dolphins. Let's go to Dan in Orchard Park. Hi, Dan.
Boy, hey, Bill just stole my thunder because,
it's okay.
You know, I was 20 years old, 1980. The only thing I'll add, though, is to my knowledge, I've been watching football for 60 years. I do not remember the posts coming down in an opening game of a football season in professional football. I can never remember that, so it was an incredible moment to see that level of passion. And I know it's unsafe, but it's a shame that you don't get to see the posts come down. I remember I took my son to the Patriots game where we came back and beat them after not beating them for many, many years as well. And I thought for sure, I said, we're going to get on the field, but they didn't do it, you know? So they definitely put a stop to that, which is kind of sad.
Here's what I want to know, Dan. I'm not sure about this. I've always wondered this. What about before that? Like, who started that? When did it first happen? Somewhere in the country, college, NFL. I know the story about 1980. I mean, I was a 7-year-old kid at the time, so I wasn't, like, watching that and understood what was going on necessarily. I don't remember it. But, like, when do you remember it ever happening before that? Did Bills fans kind of start that? It had to happen somewhere before that.
No, that's a great question. I do remember seeing it in college, just like you see the floor stormed in during a basketball game in college, you know, occasionally. But I do not, I don't remember it in the pros, to be honest with you. I don't remember it. And Buffalo definitely had a thing with it because I was on the field when we went to one of our Super Bowls. My memory gets a little blurry which AFC championship game it was, but I was out with my wife, and it was a cool moment.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. Lots of great memories and moments inside that stadium, which, by the way, as I was talking with Gian Gallo a little while ago, let's remember. I mean, think about it this way, everybody, okay? Including preseason, there's 18 games left inside this stadium. That's it. 18 games left. And it's it. It's done. And they're moving across the street. I mean, you have nine regular season games this year, right? And then eight next year, whatever it washes out, and I forget. But either way, because there's 10 each year, and they've already played. They played their first two this year. So eight regular season games this year, nine next year, one preseason home game next year as well. And you never know. Maybe there's less than that. Maybe the Bills have a Europe game or something like that, but that's it. Then they're getting into a new stadium. Lots of great memories created in this one over the last 50-plus years. Maybe some more on Sunday. Let's hope. Jim in Niagara Falls, you're up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What's up?
Hi, good morning, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you.
You know what? I lived in different parts of the country, especially Kansas City. I lived there for a couple of years. But they're talking dynasty teams. I was at the Cleveland game in 1989. Unfortunately, Ronnie Harmon dropped that ball in the end zone. And I'm there.
Yeah, I was there, too. I was in 10th grade, and my dad drove us. That's a playoff game, though, right? That's not the opener. That's the playoff game.
Yeah, I think it was a wild card game, if I can remember. But I'm 55 years old. I was born in 69, so I grew up with O.J. and Joe Ferguson, so I've been
right
through it all.
Father, I got you, buddy.
The TV. But anyways, the Bills could have won the five straight Super Bowls. If it wasn't for that Cleveland loss, there was a year prior to when we went to four.
That's exactly right. That's why the K-Gun was started, because of that game and how well they did late in the game. I believe it was a divisional round game. The Browns go on, and they wound up losing, obviously, in the AFC Championship to the Broncos a couple different times. But, yeah, that's a great playoff memory. Looking for your opener memories if you can. Thanks for the phone call, though. I really appreciate that. Rob in Connecticut, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal. What's going on? I hope all's well, and I'm sure Max is going to do very well in school this year.
I don't know if his dad's going to do well, but he's doing well. So, yeah, for sure.
Anyways, first I'd like to give a shout-out to Kia. We just bought a brand-new Kia Sportage 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
so
how about that? Yeah. We got Mike Ahern. Mike, we had a caller call it, and he just said he bought a brand-new Kia Sportage, my caller here. There you go, see? So how about that? Shout-out for Rob in Connecticut. So thank you. We appreciate that, Rob. Thanks for bringing the juice here to Northtown Kia on the Extra Point Show. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, I always like to bring the juice. Anyway, the game that the home opener was against the L.A. Rams a few years back when Josh Allen stiff-armed, I forget the player it was, but he threw that stiff-arm and threw him down like a rag doll. And then the rest of the game was just, it was so fluent. That game, we did everything right, and I was looking forward to the season. And a matter of fact, at that time, I could still see the game. I could watch the games. So it was very, very fun to watch how well they played. They were a fun team to watch. And I wish nothing but the best for this season coming up. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. So with that, Sal, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, you got it, Rob. Always a pleasure to hear from you as well. 803-0550. Looking for your Buffalo Bills opener memories today as we head towards 11:15 when we're going to play you and hear from live from the stadium today, Joe Brady and Bobby Babich. Of course, Joe Brady going into his first full-time year as Bills offensive coordinator. He was the interim offensive coordinator last year for the last eight games. And Bobby Babich going into his first time ever as a defensive coordinator, and we know now play caller as well for the Bills. Let's get connected with our fans as we've been doing that. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, of course, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Come on in here physically today to Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive. I'll be here until noon, so you got plenty of time to grab a Paul's Donut. You can spin the wheel and grab some WGR merch as well. Harry up in Canada. What's up, Harry?
Hey, good morning, Sal. I kind of want to take it a different approach to the first game. To me, this is pretty much every first game as a Bills Mafia tailgater for the last 20 or so some odd years. You know, we all get to the parking lots early. All of our tailgate material are properly stored, clean barbecues, spick and span, and it's always a fantastic, first game experience from an organizational point of view. But then as we get into game six or seven, everything's all over the place. Barbecues are disgusting. But that's the life of Bills Mafia. I mean, some, I'm sure, are a lot more organized, but I speak sure. for many in my parking lot.
Harry, that's a great call. Thank you. You're right. That is a different perspective, but one that is very impactful nonetheless. I can already kind of smell the barbecue as I roll in down Abbott Road before the game on Sunday. I'll be getting there about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it's already front and center, the smell, the sights, the sounds. It's pretty amazing. And now you have the new stadium being built across the street as well. Great call so far. We'll take some more of yours as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio live with you from Northtown Kia today, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Come on by. I'm going to be here till noon. So if you're out and about in the area at all, it's beautiful weather. Come on by. I got Paula's Donuts. We got WGR merch. You can register to win some Buffalo Bills merch from Northtown, of course, the official dealership of the Buffalo Bills. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, talking Bills openers over the years.
To quote Thanos, fine. I'll do it myself.
Let's go.
Let's go in the red. And yes, you drink this in. You drink in the red Josh Allen jersey, and you know the red Infinity Stone is the reality stone. And the new reality is that the NFL's most overrated player is the NFL's most valuable player. Josh Allen is your MVP, perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
Well, that is Kyle Brandt. I'm guessing, was that on Good Morning Football that he did that? I mean, Kyle's got so many different things going on. Thanks, Josh. He's picking Josh Allen for MVP. Look, I mean, if there's a year where Josh should be able to have a real good look at it, it's a year like this where there are lower expectations a little bit from on this team nationally. There's been a lot of changeover at wide receiver. Josh has to kind of elevate those around him, and that's how you win an MVP. He's been right there in the mix. I just think it's nonsense when I hear people talk about, well, he doesn't have the hardware, doesn't have the MVP. The dude's been in the top five of voting three of the last 4 years. I mean, he's right there every year. Only one person can win it. It's the same thing. Only one team can win a championship. It doesn't mean you suck if you don't win a championship. It's hard to get there. It's hard to do it. You fight as heck as you can. And yes, I know there have been many mistakes over the years and things that can happen to change that from a team standpoint. But, man, and Josh Allen has had a very good look at it. He hasn't won it yet. I know Lamar has two. Patrick Mahomes has multiple MVPs. I think this is a year where if Josh – I'll say it this way. If Josh has the kind of numbers he normally puts up, which is what, 4,200 passing yards, 30-something touchdowns, if he has that and the team wins the division, I think he's your MVP. I think he's got to be, considering this cast that he has around him, considering the expectations going into the season, nationally at least, for the Buffalo Bills, and maybe even locally. Taking your phone calls today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you here at Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Luke in Buffalo, give me an opener, buddy. What do you remember?
Hey, what's up, Sal? Thanks for taking me.
You got it.
So, home opener, 2004. My dad was a Buffalo public school teacher.
Yep.
From box seats over at Ralph Wilson Stadium, and that was the Marshawn Lynch era. And I remember, like, a super boring game. We definitely lost, but, yeah, that's my opening memory. And taking the girlfriend to her first game ever on Sunday, so pretty stoked for that.
All right, I love it. Taking the girlfriend to the first ever game. Hopefully she has great memories that she can call at some point and say, I remember when my boyfriend, now my husband, took me to a game in 2024. Jake in Toronto, go ahead. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Sal, love the show. First time, long time.
Thank you.
I think it was 03. It was Patriots were in the middle of their Super Bowl years, and we trounced them. I think it was 38-3 or 31-3.
And, 31-0.
Forget the defense. 31-0, okay. And it was the lineman who recovered the fumble, went in after a sack fumble. And that week was on the cover of SI. That was the NFL is back, and it was him celebrating his touchdown. So that was a great opener.
That was Sam Adams. You remember that, Sam Adams?
Yeah,
he was the big guy, right? And I'm gonna look up the cover right now because I remember that. And he said, and I think the cover said "Away We Go" or something like that on the cover, if I remember correctly. That's a great memory. Love that one as well. Let's go to Joel and Clarence. Hi, Joel. You're on the Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Go ahead.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, the memory I have, and bear with me, I think, I'm pretty sure it was the home opener, was against the, I believe at that point, the St. Louis Rams during the Super Bowl era, and I believe it was the opening kickoff. Steve Tasker laid a hit on a guy, laid him out flat, and I don't remember the player's name, but all I remember was, like, that feeling was like, oh my God, this season is off. We're off and running. again, I'm pretty sure it was a home opener and it was the opening kickoff. I don't know if you remember it or not.
I don't remember the Cardinals game specifically there. I went to a lot of the Super Bowl era games. I remember the opening
kickoff.
This
would have been the Rams. This would have been when they were.
Oh, yeah. They did play the Rams back in the 80s, I believe, before they went into the Super Bowl era. And that might have been, that might have happened. I remember that. There was a Vikings home opener. There was a Rams home opener in there. You're right about that, Joel. I'll have to go back and look at the exact year. Thank you. I appreciate that. Man, I got to go back and look at the exact year because you're right. That happened. I don't remember the exact opening kickoff. But, man, good call on that right there. And I'm sure Steve can talk about that, too, on One Bills Live today when he's on. Hi, Marvin. You're up next, buddy.
Hey,
Marvin on a cell phone.
Morning. Yeah, my opening day was 1964. Kansas City against Buffalo.
Okay.
And I believe the score was 35 to 12 or 13. Buffalo really beat the crap out of them. But that's when the heyday with Kemp and LaMonica was on the team, too. He got traded, though. And Ray Carlton and Billy Shaw, Sustak.
Man, you got a good memory. I'm looking at it right now, Marvin. 1964, September 13th, Bills beat the Chiefs 34-17. I'm looking at it right now.
Wow. Well, I was close a little bit.
You were. The Bills were up 30. How about this? I'm looking at the box score. The Bills were up 31-0 in the first quarter. What?
Oh, they killed him. It was a killer. Yeah.
Gogolak with a field goal. Glenn Bass with a pass from Kemp.
Yeah,
Dubenyan with a pass from Kemp.
Gogolak.
Yep. That's right. Dubenyan catches a touchdown pass. Glenn Bass catches another one. All right, how about this? And then Tom Sestak returns a pick six for a touchdown to make it. Sestak, thank you.
Right.
31-0. Man.
Yep.
You got it.
A long time ago.
Well, you got a sharp brain right there, pal. Thanks for that memory. I love it.
Well, when I call you, that's why everything I say is valuable.
Everything you say, I'm not going to argue with you, Marvin. Thanks for the phone call, buddy. You got it. All right, you got it. That is Marvin. Let's go to Dano, I believe it is, in Tonawanda. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Sal. Thank you. So, you know, I'm a lifelong Bills fan. I was born in 64. My father was actually in War Memorial for that championship game, and there's a picture of him, actually a video of when Kemp's getting carried off. My father was in his London fog on the field going by. But my greatest memory was in 1980 when the Bills beat Miami. It wasn't a really good game because there was a ton of turnovers, and, I mean, Ferguson had a really bad day, but so did Greasy. But what was so memorial about it is that, you know, we had season tickets. Our family had to move to San Jose, California in 78. I came back in 1980 because my little brother had lost his leg, and he was here with my father, and I was going to help him get them back and forth to school. And the game was not sold out, so I had to buy tickets right before the game. So the Bills win this game, and what I remember the most, obviously being emotional, right, was there was grown men in the section where my father had season tickets. I think it was 121, right between the 20 and the 30s, by where the players come out. And grown men were crying and, you know, holding each other crying. And everybody was screaming. They went on the field, tore the goalpost down. And it was just a magnificent beginning to that season. And I'll never forget that memory. But
Dano, I got to tell you, I'm looking at the box score, and you're right. I didn't realize Joe Ferguson threw five picks in that game that they won.
It was horrible, man. He tried to give the game away. It was terrible.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. I mean, wasn't the cleanest game. But, you know, when you say about grown men crying and people crying in the stands, I think to the I think to the Bills beating the Colts or the Ravens in the COVID year, being at home and winning those games in the playoffs, you remember the same emotions were flowing through that stadium. You know what I mean?
Listen, if you look back at the fans, even back to the 60s, right? Now those are the grandpas, yeah. Right? And now it's like the love of the team is carried down to the children through the generations. And that's my father instilled the love of the Bills in me, and it's never left me, no matter where I've lived. I've been all over the country in my career. I'm back home now. But I'll tell you, it's truly being a Buffalo Bills fan is more than you can't really explain. I lived in the Bay Area with 15 million people. And they couldn't sell out the Raiders Stadium. I said, I grew up in a place where there maybe 2 million people, and there was 80,000 people packed in that stadium for decades.
So, I love it. Thank you, Dano. Yeah, thanks for sharing that story. That's great. Passing it down from generations. Speaking of children. How about Jessica Pegula last night? I mean, unbelievable. What a performance. I mean, I have never been that dialed in to a tennis match in my life. And I try to catch Jess when she's playing, in majors, when she's on TV. I'll try and peek in here or there. I try to follow her. I don't follow tennis regularly, necessarily. I know some of the big names, obviously. But I know, going back years, that she's had problems with Swiatek. And why not? She's the number one ranked woman in the world. And, of course, right, she's gotten to the quarterfinals six times, never able to break through. And here she goes last night at the U.S. Open, and she's playing the number one ranked woman in the world, again, seventh time in the quarterfinals of a major, and she did it. And she was on fire. What a performance last night. Congratulations to Jessica Pegula, daughter of Terry and Kim Pegula, of course, owners of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. And now she plays in the semifinals for the U.S. Open tonight. And if she wins, she's in the finals on Sunday, which is going to be pretty darn awesome. So great job. I mean, just that was fantastic last night. I was dialed in. I was at a fantasy football draft last night, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching it on my computer. And the guys, we're in this big garage, my friend's garage. And they're like, what's going on? I'm like, wait, it literally, I'm not kidding, came up to my pick when she was at match point. And I said, can you just pause it? I need to watch this final point. And they did. It was great. It was super cool. Great job. Congratulations, Jessica Pegula. Let's go to Chris in Virginia. Hi, Chris. You're on WGR. Chris, you there?
You mean Sardinia?
I'm sorry if I don't have your name right. It's not Chris on my screen, but that's you. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yes, it's me. So, my memory would be, I think it was the 2000 season. We opened up against Tennessee. It was an 8 o'clock game. I think it was the year right after the Music City Miracle.
Yes.
And so somehow, and I don't know if the rules were different back then or not, and this is going to be more of a tailgate story than a Bills story or a game story.
Okay.
Somehow we were able to get into the parking lot at like noon. And on the way in there, we were driving through East Aurora, and these people had put out like a couch and a chair for the garbage. So, and 20 of us went to this game too. So together, we had 20 tickets together. So we picked up the chair, we picked up the couch. We got in there early. We had a tag in the back of my truck. We parked in one spot. My buddy parked in another spot. We set up a tent in between. We set up basically a living room in the middle of the parking lot with a keg and 20 people and a beer pong table, and just had a fantastic day. And
I love it. And that's Alex Van Pelt. Remember, he started that game, right? Didn't he start at quarterback that game for the Buffalo Bills?
I don't know if he started it, but he finished it. I feel like Rob Johnson.
Oh, you know what? You're probably right. Let me look at the box score real quick.
Had left.
You know what? Johnson started, Van Pelt finished. You're right. My apologies. Yeah. Great job on that. Yeah. Rob Johnson, 9 of 18, 107, a touchdown, 5 sacks in that game. Not a great, pleasantly played offensive game, but the Bills did wind up winning that opener against the Tennessee Titans. You got it, Chris. Thanks. I'm sorry. What's your first name?
Chris, yes, but as you said, Virginia.
It is Chris. Okay, I got you. Oh, that's why. See, Josh back, he didn't. Quite catch that, so I apologize and thank you for that. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah,
thanks for calling.
No problem.
All right, you got it. We're going to take a time out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Great memories about Bills openers over the years, home, away. I mean, whatever you're thinking of. I mean, I'm thinking of a game in Kansas City in 2011 when they just completely blew out the Chiefs. That wasn't a road game in 2011, right? There's been some road openers that come to mind, but really it's the home openers. It's being home in that stadium, in Highmark Stadium, that really I think people think about. The Jets overtime game ends badly for the Bills at a kickoff return for a touchdown. Remember that one in the early 2000s? I'm sure a lot of you do as well. There's been a lot of them we could talk about, but some of yours. We're taking your phone calls today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Keep it here. Okay, let's get right back after it. You guys are great. Lighting up the phone lines today, remembering Bills openers. Dave on a cell. Go ahead. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, I got to piggyback on Daniel's call. Bills, Miami, 1980, September 7th. As Van Miller would say, a sun-splashed Rich Stadium. Absolutely amazing. That was probably the 1980 team outside of the Super Bowl years was probably still my favorite team. Chuck Knox, a young roster, Joe Cribbs.
Yeah.
Even in that game, you had a fake punt by Greg Cater. You had, what, three picks by Jeff Nixon. They benched Greasy for Don Strock with five Ferguson interceptions, and they still managed to pull that out. I still look back at that and just I still shake my head.
That team finished 11-5, went to the playoffs. It wasn't a great ending. I know that was a year, I believe that's a year Fergie got hurt in the playoffs, and they could have beat the Chargers, but he got hurt in that game, and that was an ultimate downfall for the Bills, but a nice season there. Good memory. Thanks a lot. Josh in Williamsville, go ahead.
Hey, Sal. So the year was 2008, and I think it was an opener against Seattle, and I was at the game, and I remember being in the stands. It was the, like, you know, early days of social media. There were, like, smartphones really weren't a thing. And I remember people starting to mutter, like, you know, oh, Tom Brady just got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And, and then it turned out that, found out he was lost for the year. And I remember being in the stands finding out about it. And, you know, of course, that's the year we start 4-0. And we kind of remember how that year ended. Not great.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you think about that, how things have changed and, you know, getting scores and getting information around the league. Now it's right at your fingertips, the fantasy football and all the information you have. And, of course, you know, social media. But you're right. I remember that year, too, and people saying, like, I've heard those stories, like, going into the bathroom at halftime. And what are you talking about? Brady this, Brady that. Pretty wild. Thanks for that memory. Bob in Manhattan, you're up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hello. My memory is Dallas Cowboys at was in the early 70s. My boss was from Dallas, and we drove up with our wives to the game. Dallas was a 12-point favorite, and it was a windy day, rainy, drizzly, and Dennis Shaw was up there with the aerial circus, and the score was something like 49-45. And every touchdown, we were in back at a goalpost, and we had to, you know, like go into a crouch because people were flying through the air to get the footballs for every field goal and extra point. It was unbelievable. You really had to be very wary back then before the screens were up.
That's amazing. That's great. I mean, we're going way back here. I'm trying to look for this exact game, and I don't know if I can find it necessarily, but I appreciate you letting me know. Boy, 64, 65. I know in 65, was that someone called earlier Boston? They opened up with the Boston Patriots in 65. I'm looking at some of the openers of, you know, before my time, basically. But thanks for that memory. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Herbie in Williamsville. Hi, Herbie.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kirby, you're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal, how's it going? 1986,
good, thanks, buddy.
New York Jets, when Jimbo walks out of the tunnel, running out.
Yeah.
You're up. Even though
very,
we lost,
very good memory for me. Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even though we lost, we all knew that we had a franchise quarterback. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, Herbie. Yeah, I do. I remember that year when he signed, and he comes to Buffalo.
Yeah, it was like August 12th.
And he comes off the plane, and they make him the million-dollar man, basically, and he goes against the Jets, and still at the same time, the New York Sack Exchange, right? That's Klecko and Gastineau in that group,
that's
right?
That's when Klecko hit him, yep.
Yep, over. And the first pass, remember the first touchdown pass he threw? A little swing pass to Greg Bell.
Greg Bell, yep.
I love it. Awesome. That's a new one, and I appreciate that, Herbie. Thank you for that and bringing that here. Jerry in Amherst, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal. This got nothing to do with a particular game, but I tell younger people about this, and they just can't believe it was really true that it happened. At Rich Stadium, back when we were a lousy team, we were lucky to win two games, they would allow anything to come into that stadium. And me and my friends, which was quite a few of us, we could actually bring in quarter kegs of beer, you know, like those huge coolers on construction sites. We could bring those in with vodka and cheese. And then at halftime, if you went down by the scoreboard, there were people down there with hookahs, bongs, joints, the whole bit. That's how crazy it was back then. A lot of people just don't believe me that could ever have happened, but it did.
Hey, man, I believe you for sure. I believe you. I've seen a lot of things over the years and on social media and when that was first starting out and the whole thing with lots of stuff going on in the parking lots and tailgates, but that's a different era, and I absolutely believe you. We'll take one more this hour. Scott in Massachusetts, you're up next. Go ahead, buddy.
Hi, Sal. My memory goes back to 1969. I was a senior in high school in Orchard Park, and for my birthday, my parents had got me a ticket to the home opener, which was against the New York Jets. And that year, the Jets were coming off their Super Bowl victory, Super Bowl number 3. So when they came into the stadium, all the Bills fans stood and gave them a tremendous ovation for being champs and bringing some credibility to the AFL. But as the cheers started to die down, there was a guy a few rows over in my section who yelled out, "Okay, you bums, now you're on your own." And it just cracked up everybody around our section, and I've never forgotten that. It was a great memory. I don't remember exactly, but I think the Bills went on to win that game, but they didn't have a very good season, so...
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. I love some of these older memories that I was not a part of, I was not around for, I was not alive for, because I can imagine. I feel the passion in a lot of the fans' voices today when they call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Very, very cool of you. Thank you so much for everybody who's calling in. We're going to hear from Joe Brady and Bobby Babbitt starting at 11:15. They're going to be talking down at One Bill Drive. We'll play that for you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That'll actually allow me to kind of say hi to a lot of people who are coming in and saying hi to me and want to win some stuff and spin a wheel and grab a Paula's Donuts, because we are here at Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive, for another hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
There you go. This is what happens when we put on the wrong headset. I had the wrong headset on. I'm trying to do a show. You got me, Josh? Everybody got me out there? Are we good? Are we live?
You scared me there. I thought you left.
I know. I brought two headsets. I had Jan Gallo on here earlier. She was on a headset. And when I put them down, I switched them. And I put on the one headset. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? I didn't hear anything. I don't hear you. And I'm like, why is your music playing and no voice? It's live radio, man. It happens. So I put on the right headset. So we're good now. It's still preseason for everybody, right? No, it's the regular season. It's a regular season, and we're here at Northtown today. Hey, I am a very, very satisfied Northtown customer. I bought my Kia Sorento just a couple of months ago. It's awesome. I love it. It's got this really, you know what's the cool part, my friends? I was out in Rochester for training camp. Had some of my media colleagues. We go out to dinner. I'm like, I'm going to drive you guys. Let's go. Get in my new car. And they get in like, woo, this is sweet. I'm like, yeah, third row back there. Max likes to sit in there. I got the big dash up front. That's what I love. I love that big dash. I feel cool with like, looks like a big TV screen. It's not a TV screen. It's a big dash with all your apps and everything like that. So I love it. All right. They had exactly what I was looking for when I came in. I knew exactly what I wanted. The team is top-notch. The greeters, the sales staff, all the way to the service crew, they make sure you're taken care of. And for over 50 years, North Hound's been a leading auto group in Western New York. They're not slowing down. They have new Volkswagen, Genesis, and Subaru stores. They're growing fast, looking for passionate people to join the North Town team. Whatever you're looking for in a career, you may find it at North Town. Go to northtowncareers.com and apply today. Make sure you do that. Here at Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Got some Paul's Donuts still left. Got some WGR swag still left. Got a chance for you to enter in to win some Buffalo Bills merchandise. And we have week number one in the National Football League. Josh Schmidt, before we get to Joe Brady and Bobby Babich, fire me up some NFL music. Let's run through week one here. All right, we're going to do this right now. Let's run through week one. What we got going on? We're gonna talk tomorrow anyway. We can do a little bit more of this, but let's just kind of set the stage for you. Week one here in the NFL tonight. It gets kicked off. Ravens at Chiefs. Good question. If you're a Bills fan, do you want the Ravens to win? Do you want the Chiefs to win? Matt Bovan, It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, said root for the Chiefs because you want the Ravens to get some more losses here because you think the Chiefs are gonna win anyway in the season, like win their division, etc. But come on, it's the Chiefs. You're a Bills fan. Root for the Ravens tonight, I think, if you're a Bills fan, because you just like to see the Chiefs lose. Should be a really good game. Getting kicked off at 8:20 p.m. By the way, I believe it's the exact same time Jessica Pegula is playing tonight at the same time Thursday Night Football kicks off. So you might have to do the little split screen here in Buffalo. Tomorrow, the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Tomorrow night, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Packers-Eagles. Should be very interesting. An 8:15 kickoff in Sao Paulo, Brazil, tomorrow night. The first ever game in Brazil. The NFL expanding worldwide. Next year, they're going to Madrid, Spain. They're going to be playing in Italy soon. They're looking at China. They're looking at Australia. Tomorrow night, first ever game, regular season in Brazil, Sao Paulo. It is the Packers and the Eagles getting after it, and it counts, of course. Sunday, 1 o'clock. We know what's happening at Highmark Stadium. But here are the games you're going to be watching and thinking about and hearing about when you're inside the stadium. Steelers at the Falcons. I was very high on the Steelers last year. I am not as much this year. After what we saw in the preseason, training camp, they have a banged up offensive line. Justin Fields comes in, but Russell Wilson wins the job. Not a surprise there. He didn't look great in the preseason or in, you know, I guess in camp and practice, whatever people talk about. And now they have a banged up offensive line, like I said. And a really tough division. Titans at Bears, the debut of Caleb Williams in a real game. We saw him play the debut of his professional career in a preseason game here in Buffalo a few weeks ago. They played in the Hall of Fame game. They've been actually at it for 4 weeks plus. Obviously, they started a little bit earlier, the Bears did. They had the Hall of Fame game. Now they take on the Titans in week number one. Titans are an interesting team, right? With Will Levis, they have some changes going on there. I don't think the Titans are going to be very good, but the more that people talk about them, the more I feel like I could be wrong on that. They're going to be more of a contender. I just don't think so in the AFC South. I think the Titans are a year away from the way I read it. I think the Patriots are several years away, and how great does that sound? Folks, the Patriots are going to stink. They're bad. I don't know what they're doing at quarterback, but Drake May should play, and it looks like it's Jacoby Brissett playing. They have no playmakers, really. They don't have much speed on offense. I guess they have a little more speed now. Not a lot of playmakers. A lot of unknown with some rookies. I just don't think they're going to be very good. I think the Patriots are looking at like a 5-win season. In the NFL, that's not good. Look at their schedule. Bengals, Seahawks, Jets, 49ers, Dolphins, Texans, Jags, Jets, Titans, Bears, okay. Rams, Dolphins, Colts, Cardinals, Bills, Chargers, Bills. I mean, I think the Patriots are looking at another near top of the draft pick next year. And the fact the Bills play them late in the year twice, I think is good for the Bills. Because the Patriots might be just riding out the season in evaluation mode. Bengals, who knows what to expect from them? I think they're – I don't even know. Is Joe Burrow ever going to be quite the same? There's rumblings about maybe he's just that injury he had last year is going to impact his throwing. I don't know. Jamar Chase just gets back from – they're a good team. They have great talent. Joe Burrow's there. I just don't know. Zach Moss is their starting running back, by the way. Very interesting. Texans at Colts. Are you riding the Texans hype train? A lot of people are. They are loaded with talent on offense and on defense, really, when you think about it. They go to the Colts, but there's always something weird about the AFC South early in the season with an opener, right? Something always winds up happening kind of weird in the AFC South, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts nip them week number one. It's happened. Texans at the Colts on Sunday at 1 p.m. The Bills' next two opponents after this week play Sunday at 1 p.m. The Jags and the Dolphins, they get after it in Miami. I think this game could go either way. I don't know what to expect from the Jags this year. They really went downhill in the second half of last season, as we know. But they do have Trevor Lawrence. They do have Travis Etienne. They signed Gabe Davis, of course. Calvin Ridley's over there now. I mean, this is going to be a really, really interesting team to watch this year. And, of course, the Dolphins, I would pick them to win this game, considering they're going to be loaded on offense again. They are going to have wrinkles early on in the season. Let's hope they show a lot on Sunday so the Bills get a good look at what they're going to do and unveil anything before the Bills play them in 5 days. And, of course, the Bills play the Jags after that. 11 days later on Monday Night Football. Panthers at the Saints. I mean, the Saints should win this game handily, right? I mean, unless you really believe in Bryce Young and some of the things the Panthers are doing. The Panthers, this is how they feel about their own roster. They picked up six guys on waivers at cutdown day and just basically said these six players who are just cut from other teams are better than any of the six guys on our 53-man roster. That's what they feel. And that's okay. But that's what they feel about their own roster. Saints are resetting here a little bit, but in a good way. I think for them, I think they feel they can compete in the NFC South. I'm not totally convinced, but Derek Carr, there's a floor there that you can win, but there's also a ceiling for Derek Carr. Vikings at Giants, what is this game? It's not J.J. McCarthy. It is Daniel Jones. Bills fans root against the Vikings all year. The Bills hold the Vikings second-round pick next draft. You want the Vikings to be bad. Bills fans should root against the Vikings in every game they play this year, even when they play AFC East, I think. Just be bad. Get the highest possible draft pick in the second round. Bills have their second round pick next year. That is all of your 1 p.m. slate. 4.05 p.m., Raiders at Chargers, the debut of Jim Harbaugh as head coach of the L.A. Chargers, taking on the Raiders, who really have done nothing to upgrade at quarterback this offseason in a division where they're going to have to be better at quarterback eventually, and they're not. So I'm not expecting a lot from the Raiders. I think the Chargers should win this, but a lot of questions still about Justin Herbert. And honestly, for me, questions about how Jim Harbaugh wants to win games. This isn't when he coached the Niners, you know, back about, I don't know, a decade ago or whatever, before the 15 years ago. This is a lot different now. In throwing the ball, they want to run the ball. They want to pound it. They do with Justin Herbert. What is their identity? I'm not really sure. Broncos at Seahawks. How about Bo Nix? How about Sean Payton? Could be in for an interesting year with them as they go to Seattle, who I am not as high on as a lot of people. The Bills do play Seattle later in the year. Geno Smith at quarterback. I think the Broncos can go to Seattle and win. I want to see it from Seattle. I'm not totally convinced. A lot of people think they're going to be pretty good. I'm not necessarily in that boat. Cowboys at Browns Sunday, Tom Brady's debut as an announcer on Fox, 4:25 p.m. Cowboys at Browns. I mean, you got to root for the Cowboys. You want the AFC teams to lose against an NFC team if you're the Bills, right, and a fan of the Bills. The Browns have a terrific, terrific defense. Cowboys have, obviously, a lot of offensive talent, but after saying they're going to be all in this offseason, they weren't quite all in and had a lot of issues with contracts. CeeDee Lamb is finally back. Dak Prescott still not worked out there. I don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. I also don't know what the Browns are going to be because Deshaun Watson is kind of a super wild card. He hasn't really been great at all in a Browns uniform. What to expect from him. Final Sunday afternoon game, Commanders at Buccaneers in the NFC. We get the debut of Jaden Daniels in the NFL. You got Caleb Williams. You got Jaden Daniels, picks number one and picks number two, starting this week for their respective teams. Commanders at Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield. I mean, the Buccaneers last year put together a nice season, a surprising season. Came to Buffalo, almost won on a Hail Mary at the end of the game. Commanders at Buccaneers on Sunday at 4:25. Sunday night game this week. The Rams are at the Detroit Lions. I know they already played in the quote-unquote golf bowl, right? I get that. In the Stafford Bowl, the golf bowl, whatever you want to call it. Stafford and golf bowl. But they're at it again. And I know last year was a playoff game. Rams at Lions are going to be an interesting game. Two teams the Bills do play later in the year, back-to-back weekends, I believe, in December, actually, when they take each other on. So not much you can glean from, you know, that as it relates to the Bills. But these are two teams that I think have very high expectations this year, especially the Lions after going to the NFC Championship. But I've heard a lot of people saying, don't sleep on the Rams. Don't sleep on the Rams. I'm not sleeping on the Rams. Sean McVay is excellent at what he does. I am kind of questioning still Matthew Stafford and I think he's still, he can be great, but there's been some injuries the last couple of years, and we'll see where that winds up taking them. The Lions have so much firepower on offense. And of course, Dan Campbell, who did a great job of turning that culture around. Finally, Monday Night Football. This week, it's the Jets at the 49ers. 5:15 in San Fran, 8:15 local time kick here in the East. And of course, Aaron Rodgers. Storyline here, people have talked about it. I feel weird saying it and talking about it, but it's the fact that Leonard Floyd is playing against him and he ended the season four plays in last year. To me, that's not, I mean, it's just, I don't even feel comfortable talking about that yet. You have Adam Schefter doing like a podcast talking about it and with Leonard Floyd, kind of weird to me to even, but you have to bring it up, right? It is a storyline, I guess. We just don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to be this year. What are the 49ers going to be? They are one of the favorites to go back to and even win the Super Bowl this year. They went last year, lost in overtime, of course, to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, obviously, Bills fans want the 49ers to beat the New York Jets on Monday night. All right, we are awaiting Buffalo Bills coordinators Bobby Babich and Joe Brady. And I believe 11:15 was the start time. I'm going to make sure here when I go back here, unless anything was changed as I've been on the air. But we got Paul Hamilton down there. He'll be helping us out, and we'll be playing that sound live for you when we hear Joe Brady up at the podium, and then Bobby Babich soon to follow. Joe Brady, his first full-time season as Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. Obviously, last year taking over 8 games left in the season. I think a little too much has been made about what that team was, the offense was, throughout those last games, throughout the last couple months of the season, because I don't know if the identity was truly what Joe Brady wants to bring in 2024. They had to run the ball a lot. They did. They leaned on the running game. There was a lot of, you see Stephon Diggs' number, they kind of force-fed him, but his production was kind of low. Khalil Shakir's production was up. James Cook's production certainly was up last year, the last 8 games of the year. I don't think that's an indicator, I should say, of what we're going to see from Joe Brady's offense necessarily this year. Will they run the ball? Sure. I mean, you have James Cook, and he had a really fantastic year last year. I don't think the Bills are going to be some, like, oh my God, they're running the ball ground and pound team. I don't think you can look at last year's final 8 games and say that. What last year's final 8 games for me was about, when it came to Joe Brady calling the offense, was about circumstance. He's taking over an offense that wasn't his. He's trying to mesh that with what works, what doesn't, trying to navigate a very, very difficult schedule down the stretch, including Kansas City and Philadelphia and the Jets and obviously the Dolphins at the end of the year. And also the weather playing a little bit of a factor in some of those games, some cold weather games or, you know, precipitation games. Now you have a whole new roster at his disposal. He kind of knew what was happening here. I'm sure he did. You know, he got the job, you know, in January. But he had a say, I'm sure, in some of the players that brought in, including Curtis Samuel, who had his best year as a pro under Joe Brady in 2020 in Carolina. What does that look like? So we'll see where Joe Brady goes. But I just think there's been a little too much made of nationally, maybe not as much locally. There are questions. Is that an indication of what he wants to be on offense, what we saw the last 8 games of last year? And then on the other side, Bobby Babich. I mean, Bobby Babich has been a really, really excellent position coach in this league for a long time. He came in with Sean McDermott in 2017. He's been with him for all the years that McDermott's been here. Was a safeties coach. He turned Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde and helped turn them, I should say, helped get them to all-pro level. They played, they were nominated, they were named all-pros. Then he goes and coaches linebackers after his dad retires, and they switch. I remember that day. I remember being online and saying, oh, Bobby Babich hired to replace his dad. And how many fans, just because you have to have this reflex, I guess, if you're some people, oh my God, nepotism, can't believe it, they can't go outside the box. No, the guy earned it. The guy's a great position coach, and he just moved from safeties to linebackers because his dad had been there. He saw it with those eyes, and it was a good transition for him. And, you know, personally, as a career goal, if you want to be a coordinator or a head coach someday, it's great to branch out and coach other positions. Well, guess what? He went to linebackers, and he did a hell of a job. Matt Milano became an all-pro. And then Tremaine Edmonds had his best year, and he got paid. And then Terrell Bernard stepped up into a fantastic role and fantastic player last year. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Bobby Babich had a lot to do with all of that. And now Bobby Babich becomes the defensive coordinator. We also know now he is going to be calling the defensive plays for the Buffalo Bills in 2024. So lots of new changes for the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday when the team rolls out for their first game against the Arizona Cardinals. All right, why don't we do this, Josh? Let's take a break. Let's take a timeout. And if we catch Joe Brady while he's mid, you know, talking, that's fine. But get our break in and we can keep it a little bit longer there. So let's take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll hear from Joe Brady and Bobby Babich after this timeout. So let me just tell you behind the scenes here, give you a little peek behind the curtain the way it works in radio. So as we go to a break, Josh will tell me sometimes, or he'll set up the show and say, hey, this is when you have some, you know, reads for sponsors and things like that. And in the last break, he said, hey, you know, Roswell Park here. And that's right. And I was looking and I didn't have the correct thing to tell you about at Roswell Park, and I feel bad about it, so I want to make sure, because it's very important you know that on September 28th, it's Cruising for a Cure Buffalo Niagara. It's back, and it's featuring some of the best cars, trucks, and bikes in Western New York, coupled with a prostate cancer early detection event with the experts from Roswell Park. And as I said earlier, prostate checks are quick, painless, and require no prep, and anyone with a prostate age 45 to 69 and those considered at high risk and anyone with a family history of prostate cancer can sign up at age 40. That's why you go to roswellpark.org/cruisingforacure, or you can call 1-800-ROSWELL. So there you go. So I want to make sure I got that in because I didn't say it correctly during the break and when I said it, and want to make sure that because it's super important. All right, here is Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady at One Bills Drive.
All right, all ready.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, I think you have time with it, but I think you always have the same feeling, the same, you know, all week. You know, you're just that making sure you're going through every little thing, regardless of getting named a coordinator and having to call it that week, or having, you know, you still hit the same. You show up on Wednesday, you show up on Monday with the same issues, or the same, like, all right, I got to make sure I get this ready to go for the guys. So, kind of feels the exact same. You know, he's a you kind of saw a little bit of it last year, right? You see a guy that, you know, just continued to grow and get more and more comfortable. You know, he's going into his second year, right? There's still a lot that he has to learn and grow and continue to develop. But, you know, you saw him as the season went on just continue to get confident. And, you know, I think him and Josh have, you know, worked together a lot this offseason just to, you know, be able to be on the same page with each other and understand, like, hey, when I do this, you know, speaking to him. And so, I've loved how he worked in the offseason. I'm excited for him going to the season.
When did you guys adopt the everybody eats mindset? Like, when did you hit a point this summer or this offseason? You're like, yeah, that's going to kind of be our identity.
That's a great question. I don't know. Sometimes it wasn't anything where you just kind of come up and you're like, all right, guys, this is a message. It's more of like, you know, it's a mindset. And I just, you know, we brought in a lot of guys that you just are new to Buffalo and new to how we do things, and just making sure that everybody's kind of understanding of, you know, how we do things here, and we're going to celebrate each other's successes, and if I take care of my job, you know, it's going to come to me as well. And so you know, we have an opportunity this week, this season, to see if we really believe that. You know, if it's just something that, you know, it's easy to say when you're getting a lot of reps in practice, but if you're going out in a game and you're a wideout and you might only get two targets this game, like, do you really believe that? Or, you know, if you're a running back and you're having to protect on this, do you really believe that? And so it's a great opportunity for us. I don't know half the time, half the things I say sometimes. I don't know if it ever actually like comes out where it's just like, hey guys, here's the message. But, you know, I just want the guys to always just know like, hey, like you take care of what you're doing. Everything's going to take care of itself. And like trust the quarterback, just trusting that the guy, everybody out there, like not feeling like he has to go here or has to do this. Just, hey, just play within the system. Trust the progression. Trust everybody that's in the huddle with you. And I think if everybody embodies that, then, you know, everybody's going to eat. Yeah, like it's not easy playing the NFL, playing wide receiver, but just doing, you know, with him, we're having to play inside and outside and having to move around and just there's a reason, you know, I wanted to bring him here because I know how smart he is. Not only smart, but he's an intelligent football player. Like he can take it from the classroom, be able to go out there and when things are changing, move around and be able to kind of play within that. And so it's not easy for everybody to do, and that's part of, you know, what's so special about him is that he can handle whatever we kind of throw at him.
Where did you see the biggest growth from Keon from when he got drafted to getting ready for
this game right now? Well, I think, right, he's still a rookie going into week one, right? And so there's so much that, you know, just the speed of the game and everything that he's going to continue to develop and grow. And, you know, but I've loved his just the way that he's worked, the way that he's taken coaching, the way that he's, you know, just kind of been glued to Josh's hip and not afraid to work and just be like, hey, how do you see this? How do you want this? There's so many elements to any rookie's game that you have to, you know, we see all the flash plays in colleges, but, you know, to be a successful wide receiver, the consistency, you know, play. And so that's something that I've seen since OTAs to come into training camps, him being able to stack plays and be able to be consistent. You know, we know he does a great job of separating. We know he can go up for a football. We know he can be physical, but just doing that consistently and loved his work ethic. And I'm excited for him to finally get an opportunity to be able to go out there on Sunday. Yeah, I think, you know, you always want to start fast. I think you want to be able to get into a rhythm, you know, and it's but I want our guys to understand that no matter how the first drive goes, right, you know, we're got to be able to make adjustments. We got to be able to go. You know, I don't want them to focus on like, hey, I'm up at the plate and there's two strikes and like this first drive has to go well and we have to start out fast. Like there's a lot of football to go and trust that just like in practice, right? It's not always going to be perfect, but we're going to find a way. Our goal every week is just score one more point than them. And so obviously we'd like to start fast, but it's not the end all be all. I mean, it makes my life a lot easier, right? Like, you know, I've said this since day one, since I've been here, like I would do anything for that guy. And I think the guys in the locker room feel that way. And just being able to sit in the room with him for the last couple of years and now being able, like we just went on a walkthrough and, you know, I just called a play and he just wanted to know exactly where that was to know if he can get to a certain thing. And so just making sure that it's just that if he can be my voice on the field and when I call a play, he knows exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. That makes, you know, then we're all on the same page. It makes everybody's life a lot easier. And his communication, his intention, attention to detail, and just being intentional about everything he's doing right now has been elite. And it's a lot of fun allowing him to take control of it all and him just being an extension of kind of what I'm saying and me not having to always say it. You know, he's as mature as it gets as a rookie. He wants to be perfect. You know, he asks a lot of questions. You know, we played a lot of football in college, right? And so he's an extremely bright football player. But just seeing him develop both in the pass game and protection, we know he can run the football, being able to develop in that side and showing how important it is to him of you understand that, hey, in college you might be able to just pancake a guy, no big deal. Well, there's a lot more technique involved, a lot more that comes into it in the NFL, nuances of routes, and just seeing him just understand that, hey, to be a running back in this league, I don't want to be just a runner. It's been very impressive. Yeah, it's there's literally nothing easy that goes about, you know, going against them. It's I think, you know, and I know what statistics kind of show, but we're not the same offense and they're not the same defense as last year. And when you turn on the tape with them, I mean, you know, Jonathan, Gannon, Nick, they do an incredible job. Like, those guys played hard and they present a lot of issues. And so it's and that's not even just coach talk. Like, if you actually like watch the tape, it's going to be a great opportunity for us. It's a challenge of the guys that we're going against. And I know our guys are excited about it, but we know that they improved as from a defense perspective. We know as the first game of the season, there's always unknown, right? Like, I'm sure they're saying the exact same thing. So the game's going to be a lot about adjustments, and we think this is what they're going to do. But, you know, how are we going to be able to respond when are we going to be able to be poised when everything's kind of changing? So it's going to be a huge test and a great opportunity for us. I remember my first game calling it last year, just getting Ty going. It was important for me because obviously him being down, being injured, you know, in training camp, you know, was he was frustrated with it just to get him the reps. But you know what you're getting from him. You're getting the energy with him, and he can do a lot of things in all three phases. And so part of the building that running back room was getting guys that – you know, when a guy's in, you don't know if it's a run or a pass. You don't know if, hey, we don't have a protection back. We don't have a only runner back. We don't have an only scat back. And so having guys like Ty, Ray, and Jimbo, we have the opportunity to be able to do everything when our running backs are in the game. And so Ty brings that versatility with that, and his energy is contagious. So he's a lot of fun being around. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
That is Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. We're going to hear from defensive coordinator Bobby Babich here momentarily. I'm sure he's just going to walk up to the podium here in a moment, and we'll bring you that here live on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio out here live at Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive. Great seeing so many people come out here today. Really appreciate it. A lot of people coming out, saying hi, grabbing a Paula's Donuts, spinning the wheel, getting some WGR merch, also registering to win some Buffalo Bills merchandise from Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealership of the Buffalo Bills. Joe Brady talking right there about some of the challenges the Arizona Cardinals present. You know, it is a really interesting, unique opener because these are teams that just are not very familiar with each other, right? You look at the Arizona Cardinals last year, you know, their season didn't go the way they really wanted, but they had a nice end to the season. They're going to be looking to kind of carry that over into this year. I mean, I think they won four of their last let me just take a look at last year. I don't want to misspeak in there. They won four games total, I think, last year. 4-13. And then what'd they do? So they won two of their last five. Not great, but one was at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was fighting for a playoff spot. They did wind up making the playoffs. And then they won at Philly. Remember that? That was a big win for them. 35-31. That was a big game for them. That was a big win. Some of their losses, though, 21-20. 27-16. What do we got here? 21-16. They were in games they wound up losing. They did not have a good start to the year, which kind of derailed them at the end. But you look at them grabbing Marvin Harrison Jr. Early on in this draft, who's going to be a fantastic wide receiver in this league. Kyler Murray has been one of the better dual-threat quarterbacks in the NFL. The problem is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, Kyler Murray over the years, even last year, he only played 8 games. The year before that, 11, then 14. Really, over the last 3 years, you count it up. He missed 2 in 21. He missed, what, 6 the year after that? That's 8. He's missed 16 games, I think, doing the quick math, over the last 3 years for the Arizona Cardinals. James Conner had a resurgence last year, though. James Conner was terrific. I actually have some James Conner stock and some fantasy this year, so I think he is the guy. His first 1,000-yard year last year. He averaged 5 yards a carry last year, James Conner. Think about this. His whole career. 4-5, 4-5, very nice. Then 4-3, 3-7, 4-3. It's like, goes to Arizona last few years, and then suddenly just pops in his third year with the Cardinals. 5.0 yards per carry. 80 yards a game for James Conner. So that was really interesting, you know, that he did that last year. And, you know, he's going to be their number one guy, and we'll see going into the year. We'll have more at the website, by the way, as the game gets closer. I will have, of course, my keys to the game, as I do, and my news and my notes and my stats that I give you every week during the regular season. So check that out. I'm going to look at the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals depth chart right here. I know that there'll be a game book that'll come out and have all that on it. But when it comes to the Cardinals depth chart, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, Trey McBride, right? Trey McBride is a guy that I think you really have to be, you know, watchful for when it comes to, you know, catching the football. He is their Dalton Kincaid, essentially. Guy had a great year last year. He kind of burst onto the scene. He's been really heavily drafted high in fantasy. And I say that because, not to make it about fantasy, but I think it's an indication of what people think of his season, what it's going to be as far as targets are concerned, as far as overall yardage is concerned. On the defensive side, I do think there's going to be some interesting opportunities. Josh talked yesterday about Buda Baker and some of the plays that he can make. I love Buda Baker when he's come out of the draft several years ago. He's been in the league now a while. He's a veteran. But Buda Baker is, you know, one of the better safeties in the NFL, and he has been for a while. But, you know, they have a defensive head coach, Jonathan Gannon. And as Joe Brady just pointed out, there's going to be some challenges there. It is unique, like I said, because you don't really get you know, two teams that play each other every 4 years, meeting in an opener, especially a West Coast team coming east for a game like this. So once we have Bobby Babich, he'll give us a little more rundown on what they think about the Buffalo Bills defense taking on the Arizona Cardinals offense. So let's do this. We'll take another timeout here. We'll come back, and you know, Bobby Babich, he'll be at the podium at some point here. And if we get him a little bit late, we'll have that for you on demand either way, but maybe we'll bring it all to you live if we can catch Bobby Babich at the right time after this timeout of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, letting you know again about FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, a special offer to kick off the NFL season, which kicks off tonight. Sal Capaccio here, and now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every single regular season, Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Sal, S-A-L, to download America's number one sports book. 21 plus and physically present in New York. Full price of NFL Sunday tickets going to be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. We're going to take you right now to One Bills Drive. This is defensive coordinator Bobby Babich live.
Just for you. So I know our guys are looking forward to the opportunity to try to combat that and see how it goes.
What's it like getting this defense ready to go against Kyler Murray?
Yeah. I mean, he can beat you in a lot of ways, you know, and that's the trend the NFL is going, you know, and that's the way the NFL is going. And, he does a nice job in every facet of the game, and it seems like he's in control of the offense, you know. So we just got to be on our P's and Q's when it comes to defending a player like him and you know, just practice the right way and prepare the right way to be ready to go against him. Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting, right? Like, I've come up under Sean, and I've seen the way Sean has evolved and molded. And I think I've said it before, that one of the things I respect most about Sean is his willingness to put others first. And at some point, I don't know exactly when it was, but this is years ago, there was a moment where he was like, we're going to keep this simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. You know, let our guys execute. And I guess I'm of that school. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's no surprise to anybody. You hear people talk about our defense at times, you know. I listen to press conferences of other people, and, you know, the common theme is that for years we've been simple and we know what we're doing and we do it fast. And they might know what we're doing, but it's more important that we know what we're doing, you know. So, and you always want to have some wrinkles here and there, but so. Yeah, I mean, the bad part for Terrell in all this is I don't have to hear anything he's saying, but I'm in his ear the whole time. So he can be mad at me, he can be dog cussing me, he can be doing all, but I don't hear it. So he's got to listen to me. But no, the communication is great between me and him and myself and him. And, you know, definitely those 2 years together. And really being a part of him as a rookie going into that and then going into that second year, obviously there was a relationship that developed there and, you know, there's a certain standard that you want. And, you know, for all these position coaches, there's a certain standard they want in their room, right? That we have these coaches because, you know, you're competitive and you have pride and, you know, so I think all that stuff, him understanding that standard, me going from a position coach to where I'm at, yes, definitely helps. You're talking about Terrell, yeah.
Obviously, you can see the production on the field, but is there a part of the growth that we might not be able to see?
I just think anything, there was a player here before who I had the same conversation with, is there was a point to me, and I think all the players would tell you this, where Terrell had to earn everybody's respect, right? Like the vets that have been here for a while, he is the new guy on the block in front of the huddle. And I think sometimes, and it's a good thing because it tells you about the person, is he still thinks in a good way that he has to earn the respect to everybody, but at the same time, he's at the point where other guys have to earn his respect, if that makes sense. So that's one area of growth that I've seen, that, like, he's in front of the huddle. You guys know, you know, the accolade he just got, and, you know, he's earned that. And so I think that growth of just understanding of where he's at, you know, in his progression, by no means is he content. By no means, that's the last person I'd ever say that would become content with anything. But, yeah, he definitely, you know, I think he's just more comfortable in that way. There's a little bit less stress on him of, you know, putting weight on his shoulders where I got to show these guys. Now he can just truly be free.
Their running game got rolling.
Yeah.
Just kind of what do you see from there? And now they've added Trey Benson for
the
state.
Right.
Connor and Benson, what do you see from
there? Yeah, I mean, they do a really good job. They do a really good job up front. And let me say this about them. They play really hard, you know. And that to me is a sign of a good culture and locker room and all those type of things. But they've done a really nice job running the ball. They have a plethora of things they can do in the run game. Obviously, Kyler helps them with that, with his mobility. But they're tough up front. The backs are as tough as the line. I mean, they run hard. They're really good players. Got a lot of respect for those guys. And then, like I said earlier, the tight ends, they do a good job in the run game. Yeah, so we had a discussion. I can't remember exactly when it was. And I just really sat down with him and talked about, and all I said is, where are you at mentally? And this is before maybe we even started practicing in the spring. I can't exactly remember. But from that point on, I knew he was, you know, he was ready to just be DeMar Hamlin, the person and the football player, you know, I think that you've seen that. I believe that you've seen that with him as we've gone on. He's risen to challenges. There's little things that myself and Coach Dana had given him that, like, dude, you got to get better at this. And he took it, and he would correct things right off the jump. You could just tell he's very focused and was doing things with a lot of intent and intentionality.
That is Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich. We'll have his entire media session on demand at WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. We'll take a timeout right now here live from Northtown Automotive on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, I want to thank everybody out here at Northtown Automotive. Fantastic show today. Thank you so much for all the hospitality. Thank you to everybody who came by today. Got a lot of people. Got Jim, who just showed up with his lovely daughter, Jordan. Came by to say hi. Rode his bike over here. That's what I'm talking about. I have people just want to come by, say hi, grab some WGR merch, sign up for Bills merch. We got people coming in looking at some new cars, and that's what you need to do here at Northtown Automotive. All right. I'm headed out to practice right now. The Bills on the field at 12:30 p.m. Check out WGR550.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Sean McDermott's first radio appearance on his weekly segment on the Extra Point Show tomorrow. Sabres Live up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.